Well, if you look on the back of your this morning's bulletin, on the last page at the top where Royce always lists the sermons, you'll see the PM message still says Corey Tackett, so technically I don't have to be here. but I don't think the elders will let me off the hook. I made a promise. So, you know, I can't help but think of back when Brother Jerry Frank was with us, and he used to tease me all the time. I'd come up, sit with him a lot of times, and he'd say, "You preaching tonight?" No. Finally it happened, and I just wish he was here to see it. But in seriousness, what I'd like to talk about is a subject I've had it in the back of my mind for a long time. But it's actually a little longer than I could use for one of the Wednesday Devos. So I thought, well, one day they may ask me to preach a sermon. So it happened, and here it is. And what I'd like to talk about, you know, we've all heard of the qualifications of elders and the qualifications of deacons. What about the qualifications of all Christians? You know, are we held to any lesser standard? I mean, obviously the elders have a great responsibility to shepherd the flock, but does God excuse the rest of us from upholding his teachings and commandments? I think the answer is obviously no. And do the qualifications laid out for the elders and deacons also apply to us? I think we'll see in our readings that yes, they do. And in this lesson, we're going to examine these questions. So the first point we're going to talk about is on that question of, do the qualifications of elders and deacons apply to us? Well, what I did is I looked up the spots where we can find it. Of course, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, you find both qualifications of elders and deacons. And then over in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, you find qualifications of elders. And what I did is I took them and I just wrote all the qualifications down. First, and the ones for elders in 1 Timothy 3. And then I went on to Titus 1 and looked over the qualifications of elders there. Most of them were duplicated, but the ones that weren't, I wrote them down. And then I went into the latter part of 1 Timothy 3 and wrote down the qualifications of deacons. And most of those were also overlapping, and so there was just a couple to add in. But anyway, that's where I got my list from. It's not in any particular order, but I want to go over them and talk about them. And the first qualification for an elder is blameless. And it's also listed under the deacon as tested and found blameless. Well, isn't this something that we should all strive for, to be found blameless? Blameless before God, blameless before our fellow man. I think that applies to everybody. The second one is to be the husband of one wife. Well, okay, that in some ways that is restricted to elders and deacons, because you don't have to be married to be a Christian, right? But you do have to be married to be an elder or deacon. But if we are married, the same doctrine applies to all men, and it's no different for women either. Remember in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus is talking about marriage, because the scribes, or I forget which group it was asking him, you know, trying to question him and make him trip. And they said, you know, under Moses, he enabled us to give a certificate of divorce, you know. And Jesus, you know, answered right back and said, from the beginning, it wasn't so. It was because of the hardness of their hearts. And he said, he laid it clear that unless it's for marital unfaithfulness, that, you know, if you get married again, then it's, you're an adulterer, whether you're a man or a woman. So we know that that same qualification for elders applies to all of us married people who are going to be married. Okay, the next one is temperate, which means moderate or not excessive. Well, there's examples all through the New Testament on modesty and moderation, and they don't just apply to elders. You find them all over the place talking when, you know, Paul and others who are addressing the churches where they were writing these letters to, all over the place. So that applies to us also. The next one is sober-minded. which means being rational or sensible. Now, if you want to flip it over to Acts chapter 26, verse 25 has a good example for that. This is where Paul was before Festus. And Festus had made the statement in the previous verse, in 24, he says, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." And then in verse 25 he said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason." So Paul was reasonable. And that's a trait, a characteristic that we can all strive for. In fact, if you look in the New American Standard Translation, it says sober truth. So we're all striving for that. That's not just for elders, that's for all of us. And the next qualification is good behavior. Well, can you think of any example in the New Testament where God wants us to be the opposite of that? Bad behavior. Well, no. He wants everyone to have good behavior. So that applies to everyone too. And the next one is hospitable. And we have a good example in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. I didn't come with a bunch of bookmarks, so bear with me. I'm going to be looking them up too. But hopefully that will give you time to get there. 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Well, he's not just addressing elders. He's addressing the Christians there. Applies to all of us. Okay, the next qualification is able to teach. Well, can the elders, and even the elders and the preacher, can they get the word out to everyone? The gospel message out to everyone? No, there's no way they can do it all themselves. That means that we've got to step in and spread the word too. So that applies to all of us. And also, just think about another point. If someone we know is trying to teach us, well, we better be able to teach back and teach them with the correct doctrine so that they don't cause us to pull away to false doctrine. Got to be able to teach. It doesn't mean everybody's got to be eloquent and be a preacher, but you need to be able to teach and stand up for the gospel. Okay, the next qualification is not given to wine, or for the deacon's qualification, not given to much wine. And some of the other translations say it a little bit different, but nonetheless, he's telling them not, you know, you shouldn't be using, either not using it or not using much wine. And really, the best advice is just avoid it. Why should you take a chance on it, you know? You can never be drunk if you don't drink. You can never get a... And I'm copying from Doug back there because he said this in our Sunday morning class. But you can never get a DWI if you don't drink, right? A lot of things you can avoid just by avoiding drink altogether. Okay, the next qualification is not violent. Well, obviously, you can be firm without being violent. You know, there's just no sense for it. And that doesn't just apply to elders. That obviously applies to all of us. And the next qualification is not greedy for money. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And mammon meaning material wealth. So we can't be greedy for material wealth, for money, you know, for riches. Also, 1 Timothy makes a good point on this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That doesn't say we can't have money or desire to have some money, but it's the love of money that's bad. That's getting too greedy. That applies to all of us. Okay, and the next qualification is gentle. I don't think God wants anybody to be the opposite, does He? He wants us all to be gentle, not mean. And the next qualification is not quarrelsome. And that means also what you should, as a Christian, we should have knowledge to be able to make a sound point, you know, without being quarrelsome. In other words, if you don't, what's going to happen, or what could happen? You wind up using playground rules, and we know what that's all about, little kids on the playground. Somebody's arguing one thing, you just get louder and argue louder back. Or, you know, you hear all kinds of things thrown out. Well, my dad could beat up your dad, or, you know, my whatever is better than yours, you know. You don't need to go to that. If you have knowledge of sound doctrine, you won't be quarrelsome. You can lay out your point, and if the person accepts it, fine. If they don't, you know, be a Christian and let it lay. So that applies to all of us. Don't be quarrelsome. Also, the next qualification is not covetous. It's a good example in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We don't want to be coveting things of other people, you know, things that we don't have. We don't want to let ourselves burn inside with that. You know, be satisfied with what we have is what not being covetous means. And really what 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 is saying, and Paul has listed in the previous few verses, he listed a lot of several things here, and this he throws covetousness right in there. Picking up in verse 10, it says, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So if we're covetous, obviously, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So that's going to apply to all of us, isn't it? Okay, the next qualification is rules his own house well. And it says, one of the things it says under that is having their children in submission, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. And then under the qualification for deacons, it also points out that their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, faithful in all things. Well, both of those are part of our household, our wives, our children. We should all, that applies to all of us, you know. That's how we should be. We should be reverent, not slanderers, you know, not insubordinate. God gives us plenty of examples of how to be, and that's not it, being slanderers or insubordinate. Okay, the next qualification is not a novice. Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. I'm going to be in 1 Timothy a lot tonight. And this is in the qualifications for elders, and he gives a little more explanation on that. "Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil." Well, you know, obviously for an elder, if someone's just a brand new Christian, a novice, it's not a good title, not a wise decision. He might get, as it says, puffed up with pride over having that position. Well, the same applies to us too. We can't let pride, you know, get in our way. That's not a trait of a Christian. And the next qualification is having a good testimony among those who are outside. Let me tell you, that definitely applies to everyone. A good example I can think about is, you know, we all get irritated sometimes going down the road and somebody will be driving too slow and in the left lane, but can't get around them, different things, whatever they're doing, or they'll be stopped at a stoplight. And of course, you see it all the time, more and more texting or whatever, and the light will turn green. And they'll just sit there, you know, and you have to toot your horn. But we don't have to get all raged out and yell at them or just blare on our horn, you know, and not let up, and do things like that. Or what's worse, you know, give them something else. But hopefully none of us do that. But anyway, just think if that had happened to us on the way to church, and then we incident happens, and we're going down the road. We arrive at church, going inside. Suddenly someone shows up, comes in the building, and lo and behold, it's that person that we just blared our horn at or yelled at for the way they drive. Not a good thing. Not a good testimony amongst those who are outside. So we want to make sure we have a good reputation with everyone, not just Christians. That speaks volumes. You know, they always say that we can do more with our example so many times than with actually the word. Or at least you got to have a good example before people are going to want to listen to the word. So make sure our testimony among others who are outside is great, is good. Okay, and the next qualification is not self-willed, which means doing what we want in spite of orders or in spite of wishes of others. So don't be self-willed, you know. That applies to all of us, you know. We need to do everything in our power to be unified, you know. And the best way to unify is in the Word, you know. And don't, just because sometimes, who knows, you might be right or you may have an excellent point. But sometimes we just got to be, you know, compliant and give in and not be self-willed, you know. Don't let it get to you, you know. Keep studying about it. Keep bringing it up to the brothers and sisters. But don't let it get to you, you know. Don't burn inside being self-willed. And the next qualification is a lover of good. Well, obviously, again, we can't be the opposite of that. We don't want to be a lover of bad. So that obviously means it applies to everyone, does it not? And the next qualification is just, which means reasonable or fair. I think enough said on that. We all need to be reasonable and fair. Next qualification is holy. And we know on our own merits we can't be holy, but through Jesus, through God, we can be in His sight. But what it really is, means in some translations we'll say devout. I think that's a better way to put it. And that's something we all strive for, is to be devout, you know, to be Christ-like as much as we can. Always strive for that. Next qualification is self-controlled. And the next qualification after that is similar to it, is not quick-tempered. Well, if you're self-controlled, you won't be quick-tempered, you know. So those are pretty obvious. Have self-control so you can control your temper. Think about what you do before you say or act. That applies to all of us. And the next qualification is hold fast the faithful word as taught. And in the qualifications for deacons, it says, hold the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. Let's read, flip over to Titus chapter 1, and let's read verse 9. That gives a reason why. Titus 1, verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So if we hold faith, the faithful word of God, we have everything we need to exhort, to convict those who are contradicting. You know, we can stand up for God's word. That applies to everyone. The next qualification is reverent. And that means having deep respect, especially for God. That's obvious, isn't it? All of us should have a deep respect for God. All of us need to be reverent. And it's not reverend. We know that that's only found one time. We're not talking about the elders being reverend, because we know they're not. That's a term listed for God. But we are to be reverent. Deep respect for God. All of us. And the last qualification is not double-tongued, or in other words, not being deceitful or hypocritical. How far can you get with being a good example or teaching the gospel to anyone if you're deceitful or hypocritical? Can't say one thing to one person and something else to another. You know, it just don't work. Can't be double-tongued. So I think you can see from looking at through all these qualifications that not only are they qualifications that every elder or deacon has to have, but they're qualifications that we all need to have and all need to strive to follow. But now there's a couple of other passages that actually give qualities and behaviors for all Christians or for a sound church. And they're found in Titus chapter 2 and Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. We're going to look at Titus chapter 2 first. Titus chapter 2, we're going to read the whole chapter. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Hearing some familiar terms so far from the qualifications of elders that we just read? Let's pick up in verse 4. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed and hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So we can see in that chapter that they repeat so many of those qualifications for the elders and deacons. But he's talking to the church as whole here. Christians as a whole. And then I like what he said in verse 14. He says, be zealous for good works. Now let's flip over to another similar passage. It's Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give peace to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wonderful, wonderful things to think about in our lives and strive for as qualifications, you know, or good traits for all of us to have as Christians. And the last point I want to talk about is what I call anti-qualifications. In other words, how not to live. And we can find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's kind of funny, or kind of curious that 1 Timothy chapter 3, we get the qualifications for elders and deacons. And now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we get the anti-qualifications for being a Christian. And I'm going to read from verses 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. So when you look at those traits as telling us not to be, they're just exactly the opposite of those qualifications for elders and deacons and those qualifications for a sound church. So those are the things we don't want to be. So I'm going to go back to my original questions. Are we, even though we have a set of qualifications for elders and deacons, are we not also held to those same qualities, or at least should we not strive for those? Indeed, we should. And does God excuse us from upholding His teachings and qualifications or His commandments? Absolutely not. You know, it's not too different than in your work life, in your personal life. When I started this new job in December, I went there and I could see that they were kind of behind in some of the things they were doing, and I wanted to kind of streamline things and, you know, simplify some things and make some changes. But every time I tried to do that, I got bogged down with other things, and they're all personnel issues. I inherited a bunch of people with some serious issues. I mean, one person was always had a little iPad up in her work cubicle and watching TV and listening to phones while she's trying to work. Have to stop her from that. People were coming in all the time late and then say, "Well, I'm going to stay late to make up for it." You know, just nobody asking, calling in when they're sick or going to be late, calling in way after the fact of when their start time was, taking long breaks, going in over to our cafeteria about 5 minutes after they arrive and be gone for 40, 45 minutes to eat breakfast, and then want to come back and go to work. And then our agency has a policy that you can go walking during your lunch hour. You can extend it for 30 minutes to go walk, a healthy issue. But then they want to take all these other breaks and breakfast and everything else. So I've had to deal with a lot of issues and still working on it. But, you know, those kind of things, when we live that, those kind of traits, those are the anti-traits. You know, those are not the kind of traits that are qualifications for Christians. We got to avoid that as a church, as a body. We've got to live the way the Bible teaches us, the right traits. And together, we can be a good, sound congregation. We can be unified in that. So I have to ask the question, have you fallen away from the qualifications of a Christian? If you have, you need to get right with God. And if you need the prayers of the congregation, there's no better time to do that. If you're not a Christian, now's the time to deny yourself and to put on Christ through baptism and begin the journey of following God's teachings. So if we can help in any way, if you need to come forward, please do it now while we stand and sing the song.